This Advent season and Christmas days have been special, and I wanted to intentionally thank some people for all that they did to make our weeks together special. It really goes back months earlier, and I thank the music committee, Donna and my wife and Grace, all the music for all these weeks. It just doesn't happen. People just don't show up and sing. It takes planning and thought, and there's a lot of time and effort. So I really appreciate that. I thank the deacons for decorating the sanctuary. All that we see comes from hands of people who care. For the potpourri committee, who really made that weekend special, and all the hard work that they did for that weekend on the 17th. For the sound guys that have to come extra times and do practice and things like that. And for those of you who participated, that means time after church, weekly practices, things like that. So, but it all comes together, and we appreciate it, and hopefully it's stimulated us to love God more deeply, and that's the purpose. So thank you so much. I wanted to read for you just a brief couple of verses from John chapter 18, because this is the final look that we'll have in this season. We've been doing a series for 6 weeks on the reasons why Jesus said he came, and this is the last one, and that is when he said he came to bear witness to the truth. And we find this statement in a conversation that Jesus has with Pilate, in John 18, verse 33. So Pilate entered the headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord? Or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I may not have been delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come in the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And after he had said this, he went back out, sighed to the Jews, and said, "I find no guilt in him." So the last 6 weeks, as I mentioned, we've been looking at a series of comments that Jesus made in different places in the Gospels. We looked, first of all, where he said that I came to fulfill all scripture. And hopefully we've gotten the idea that the Bible, the Word of God, especially the Old Testament, shaped Jesus' identity and his purpose and his ministry. He was a man of the Word. And everything he did, he thought, why he went where he went, was all moved and shaped by the Bible. And the application for us is clear. As followers of Jesus, are we Bible people? In other words, do our lives, do our motives, do our intentions, are they shaped by the scripture? Do we even ask the question, and what I am doing, what am I saying, how I'm reacting, is it scriptural or not? That's the challenge. We then looked at the statement where Jesus says, "My meat and food is to do the will of the Father." And that really shows us the heart of Jesus Christ, that everything he did while he was on earth was to please the Father, for the simple reason that Jesus believed that the Father's will was good, acceptable, and perfect. So the application for us is the same. As followers of Jesus, do we believe that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect? And is it our passion to do the will of God in our lives? Or do we just do what we want to do and fit God in when it's convenient for us? Then Jesus said, "I came not to bring peace, but a sword." And that's a hard statement by Jesus, but the reason it's hard is because his message is hard. And Jesus, as the Son of God, demands absolute loyalty from people. He is God, and he demands himself to be number one over family, friends, and even our lives. And that kind of message will divide people. It divides families, it divides friends. And so there is division wherever the gospel goes, because not all people will follow him as Lord. He then said, I came to give rest for the soul. And as Jesus said that, he looked around the crowds and he saw how harassed and weary and burdened they were from trying to earn their way to God through all the rules and regulations that the Pharisees had set up. And they were just struggling and anxious, trying to figure out, how do I know God? How do I know that I'm going to heaven? How do I know that I'm on the right way? And he basically said, just give it all up and come to me and trust me and you will find rest for your souls. He then said, as we looked at last night, that I came to find followers. He is looking, and he still is looking for people to come to him, to take up their cross, to deny themselves, and to follow him. Today we want to look at, what does it mean when Jesus says, I bear witness to the truth? Now, when we stand back for a minute and just think about Jesus' life, his ministry, and his character, we can make the connection, I think, pretty easily that he was all about the truth. He spoke the truth. He defended the truth. He lived out the truth. He embodied the truth. And he believed that he was the truth. If we just listen to the Gospel of John, a couple of verses in this gospel about the connection between Jesus and truth, you will see, I think, clearly why he bore witness to the truth. In verse 14 and 17 of John chapter 1, in the prologue, in the introduction of the gospel, the apostle John makes these statements about Jesus and the truth. He says, the Word became flesh, that Jesus the Word, becoming flesh, becoming human, becoming in God incarnate, dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then later on in verse 17, he says, for the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Then later on, a few chapters later in John chapter 8, Jesus said this. He looked at the Jews who had believed in him, and he said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth, Jesus, freedom. There's the connection. So what was the truth that Jesus embodied? What was the truth that he bore witness to? What was the truth that he brought with him? What was the truth that he claimed to have to all who would listen? Well, he uses the phrase witness, I am bearing witness. And we know what a witness is. A witness is somebody who tells what he experienced or she experienced and what happened. It's that simple. If you saw a car accident today and you were there at the scene, the police came, they would ask you, well, what happened? What did you see? What did you experience? You tell the truth. You tell what you saw. In the court of law, there's witnesses all the time that come for a defendant, for that defendant's character, and they give testimony, pro or con, against the defendant. So Jesus witnessed the truth, what he knew and what he saw, what he experienced about God. And there were really four things that Jesus bore witness about. And we're going to look at those four categories very quickly. He bore witness about God, who God was, the truth about God. He bore witness about the truth about humanity, who we are. He bore the truth about God's plan of redemption, and he bore witness of the truth of the future, what was coming next. So let's just look at those quickly. When we think about the truth about God, we're talking about who God is, what he's like, what pleases him, his character, his attributes, the thing that he's about. And Jesus revealed the truth about God in three ways. He did it through propositional statements. What are propositional statements? They're just statements of God is. They're statements of fact, statement using the indicative case, if those of you who like grammar. In other words, God is holy, or God is light, God is righteous, God is loving, God is good, God is powerful, patient, God is the judge. Those are propositional truths about who God is. And all through Jesus' ministry, he would make those statements along the way. The second way that Jesus revealed the truth about God is calling people to look at him. He said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Before Abraham was, I am, meaning I am it. I am the beginning and the end. I am God. The Apostle Paul talked about this connection in 2 Corinthians 4:6 when he said, we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So when we see Jesus, we see God because he's a reflection of God himself. And the third way he showed what God is like by performing acts of power. And when you think about all the things that Jesus did, they are divine. There is nobody else who could have done them but God himself. He walked on water. He calmed the seas in a storm. He healed people from all kinds of diseases and afflictions. He rose people from the dead. He exorcised demons out of people. He could read people's thoughts and the intentions of their hearts. And he taught and he preached with power. So when people heard him, they said, who is this? Those are all evidences of the power of God. So those are the three ways that Jesus revealed the truth about God. And the bottom line is that he was telling people that God created them, that there's a God in heaven, and that you are created people, and that you didn't come into this world by chance or fate, but you came by God himself. And as his creation, you need to honor and give him thanks. And this God can be known, and he can be loved, and you can communicate with him if you believe in me. And then he talked about the truth about humanity, who we are, what we're like, what's in our hearts. He revealed to people that they were created people, that they were made in the image of God, but there was something wrong with them. They were flawed. There was something that wasn't quite right. And he called it sin. And he said that they were sons and daughters of Adam. They were affected by Satan. They were dead in their trespasses and sins. They were lost. They were blind. They were sick. And they needed the light. They needed a physician. They needed to be born from above. He told the truth about what people were like. Why? Because people needed to hear it. For in order for them to ever be reconciled to God, they had to know the truth about who they really were and what their needs were. And he wasn't ashamed to tell them the truth. He then told people the truth about redemption. After telling them their troubles and their problems, who they were by nature, he said, there's a great plan, and I am part of that plan. I came to die on the cross for sinners. I came to rise from the dead. I came to seek and save the lost. I came to give sight to the blind, light to those who are in darkness. I came to give my life as a ransom for many. He came to usher in a kingdom, not a temporal kingdom where he would rule on earth, but a kingdom in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls who would respond to him. This was the truth. This was the truth about who they were, about who he was, and about how God's plan was involved in redemption. And he told them about the Trinity. Jesus taught more about the Trinity in the Gospel of John than anyone. He talked about the Father predestined all things. He, the Son, accomplished all things. And the Holy Spirit would apply all things. And they all worked together in dependence upon one another for the great plan of redemption. And finally, he talked about the truth of the future. That there would be a time when he would come back. And they need to be ready. And when he came back, he would come in great power. And he would judge the living and the dead. And every person would have to stand before him and give an account. Were they a goat? Were they a sheep? Did they believe or did they reject? And he offered to them a great inheritance that would await them for those who would trust in him. And I want to just read for you this great inheritance when Jesus returns. It's from Revelation 21. It's one of my most favorite passages and always encourages me when I'm down and need to look to the future from the hope that is in me because of Christ. John wrote these words, "I saw in a vision a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the old earth had passed away. The sea was no longer. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne of God saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is now with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and he will be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eye. Death will be no more. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain, because the old things have passed away and the new things have come.' And he who sits on the seats on the throne said, 'Behold, I will make all things new.' So write these things down, because these words are trustworthy and true. 'It is done. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. And to those who are thirsty, I will give the spring of water of life without payment. To the one who conquers, I will have this inheritance, because I will be his God and he will be my son. But for those who are cowardly, for those who are faithless, for those who are detestable, for murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, their portion will be the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Jesus spoke the truth about what was coming. He didn't back away. And then he goes on in this passage to say one more thing, that those who are of the truth listen to him. If we want to know the truth about God, about ourselves, about the plan of redemption, about what really is going to happen in the future, we need to listen to Jesus. And the word listen in the Bible doesn't mean I just hear words with my ears, but they penetrate my heart and I put them into practice. Earlier in John's gospel, I quoted this verse, and I'll quote it again, about the relationship between listening and experiencing the truth. Jesus says, "If you abide in my word," which is what listening is, trusting in it, "you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Freedom from what? Freedom from guilt, freedom from sin, freedom from judgment. You will be free to know who you really are and your purpose in life. Abiding in Jesus means to trust and rest in him. You'll be a life known by forgiveness, a life set free from the enslaving power of sin, a life with hope, and a life that is pleasing to God. If you want to know the truth, if I want to know the truth about all these things, we must continue to listen to Jesus' words. Again, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The best gifts on Christmas that we can give to ourselves and to the people we love is to point them to Jesus Christ, because that is the truth. And truth is that which corresponds to reality, not deception. And Jesus will never deceive us, but will always tell us what is real. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these words. We thank you for that, the power of them. Help us not to be afraid of you or the truth, because when we know you and we abide in you and we follow your words, we are set free. How we long to be freer and not bound by the things that bind us. Help us not to be deceived. Help us not to pursue those things that will only bring bondage and darkness into our lives. Set us free. And give us a heart of compassion for those around us who don't know you, so that they can know the truth and the truth can set them free. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.